All right. Well, God bless you this morning, and greetings from Vicki and myself, from and the believers here in the Midwest area. So thankful for all of your lives. You know, in our journeys through life, we've come to understand that certain people are identified by sometimes a little thing they wear on their chest. I call it a badge. And so just take a moment now to think, can you see a badge of authority or of recognition on someone? When I worked for the San Diego Trolley, not only did we have a uniform, but we also had name tags that would say train operator with my name above it. And for those of you that don't know, yes, I was trained and did function as a train operator for the San Diego Trolley many, many years ago. I did not make a career out of it, but anyway, I'm using that as an example. And can you see a badge of authority on someone? Hey, maybe it's just a name tag on the shirt of the person at the coffee shop or at the restaurant, or maybe it's something more serious, like someone in law enforcement or maybe a first responder. I mean, a lot of times we recognize people by their name tags. You are in a restaurant, somebody waits on you. It's nice to have that contact with them and be able to call them by their name. But when it comes to law enforcement, red lights and black and white cars, they get our attention. And maybe we aren't looking so much at their badge at that point. If it was plain clothes, we would probably be looking at it and wanting to see their badge and that sort of thing. I'm a first responder. But, you know, each of those individuals, they've earned the right and or the privilege to wear that badge. And, you know, as a result, they represent those who authorize them with certain rights and privileges. Makes sense. And sometimes, and maybe this applies to you, you need an ID badge with a magnetic strip on it just to even get in the door to your place of employment. And, you know, it's commonplace that you would go to the bank or some other location and they ask for your ID, right? That is a certain type of badge that identifies you as the person who says you who you are. Well, you know, this morning I want to take a little time to talk about the badge we've been given. And honestly, it's an inherent badge. It's internal, and it's not initially worn on the outside, and therefore it can be hard to recognize, and it challenges us to wear it courageously. And so I've got some things I'd really like to share with you, but before I do develop this topic a little bit further, I was very inspired last night and got this off in a rush to Jeffrey, and he was so gracious to include this morning. So I want to play a short segment of the series called The Chosen. And Jeffrey, if you get that queued up and play that right now, appreciate it.
Where is he? In his tent. Should I wait? No. I will take it to him.
It's not you. There's quite a lot going on right now. So it's good to have you back.
I don't know what to say.
I don't require much.
I'm so ashamed. You redeemed me and I just threw it all away.
Well, that's not much of a redemption if it can be lost in a day, is it?
Yeah. I owe you everything. I just don't think I can do it.
Do what?
Live up to it. Repay you. How could I leave? How could I go back to the place I was? And I didn't even come back on my own. They had to come get me. I just can't live up to it.
Well, that's true. But you don't have to. I just want your heart. A father just wants your heart. Give us that, which you already have. And the rest will come in time. Did you really think that you'd never struggle or sin again? I know how painful that moment was for you.
I shouldn't.
Someday. But not here.
I'm just so sorry.
Look up.
I can't.
You can. Look at me. I forgive you. It's over.
There it is, guys. The power of forgiveness. And that's why I've entitled this sharing this morning, The Badge of Forgiveness. It's that badge we've been given by God Almighty. And it's one we can carry with confidence. It's what makes us different from all of those around us. And you know, just like Jesus, in that scene, very simple scene with Mary, we can exemplify too the love of God. How? By showing our badge of forgiveness, not just in a doctrinal sense, but practically and in so many different ways. And Jesus gave so many wonderful examples. In Luke 23, we want to read quickly a couple of verses here that are almost unbelievable, and if they weren't written in the Bible, I'm not sure if we would believe it. And in Luke 23:32, it says, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." Verse 34. "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, and they cast lots." These statements are almost, and in many cases, unbelievable. That Jesus Christ, at this desperate time, this tortuous time of his life, somehow had the presence of mind to offer forgiveness. It's a pretty humbling action, don't you think? That he, in his dying moments, he lives out the words that he had preached earlier in his ministry. Go to Matthew chapter 5. We'll look at a couple of these things that Jesus spoke about in regards to forgiveness. We want to be able to wear our badge proudly. And also, like I said, it's an inherent badge. So we want to be able to live it out in application. One time I heard someone say, love is the badge of Christianity. Well, love is multifaceted, and one of those aspects of love is in forgiveness. We should be literally experts in forgiving. And yet it's the one stumbling block many times in our lives that keeps us from being able to move forward. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus made a very simple statement where he said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." You know, that kind of saying to me, what you give out is what comes back to you. And we've learned mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. And so we understand that to a much greater degree now, looking back at all of these things that have happened and all of the historical events and all of the sacrifices and all of the things that, you know, we have been given. And such a dramatic history of redemption that has happened. But yet here we are. And God doesn't even require us to know all about it. He just says, accept my son as the sacrifice and believe that I raised him from the dead and you can have the spirit too. And part of the characteristic and quality of that spirit is our ability to forgive one another and also to forgive ourselves, because we're our worst critic many times. See, how can you love others as you love yourself if you're upset with yourself, if you are your own worst enemy? Forgive yourself. Let it go. Let it go. Pardon yourself. Quit judging your actions to be unworthy, because in God's eyes, he doesn't see that. We're going to get into that here in just a second. But I want to look in Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 6. Jesus taught some pretty revolutionary things in his day that were kind of countercultural, you might say, or counter-human. In Luke 6:27, he says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." Whoa, wait a second. Love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you. Boy, this is a role, this is a reversal here. Mercy is a big thing, isn't it? That Jesus had the presence of mind at that time to forgive, to pardon, to set them free. And go on to Luke 6:35, just down the page there or across the page. Luke 6:35, "But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Verse 36, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." And we've said this many times before. Thank God that God is rich in the thing that we need. And that's mercy. And you know, God asks us to extend that mercy on a horizontal basis to ourselves and to others. Like this verse on the screen talks about, Colossians 3. Forbearing, putting up with one another, forgiving one another. And as Christ, if any man have a quarrel, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Great practical wisdom. God's given us this wisdom and this advice and revelation for our benefit, right? And now you're seeing Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of what? God's grace, God's giving to us that which we do not deserve. And God's withholding of merited judgment is mercy, grace, receiving that gift freely. See. Go to Matthew. Well, we don't even have to look there. I'm just going to remind you of this particular parable in Matthew chapter 18. There's a parable that Jesus teaches to show the amazing depth of God's love, and it's a record of a man whose debt was 10,000 talents. Maybe you can read that later. But in today's financial world, this would be equivalent to millions of dollars. Well, no slave in ancient times and no common man in today's times could ever repay such a debt. And I would suppose people in the ancient times probably would understand that this comparative amount, far better than in modern day, it's just like us. We owe God an unpayable debt. But you know what God does? In his mercy, God cancels our debt. He forgives us and lets us go free. And God does all of this perfectly legal on the basis that Jesus Christ has paid the unpayable debt for us. Forgiveness means to remove the guilt resulting from wrongdoing, but it's extremely important to note that the focus in the meanings is upon the guilt of the wrongdoer and not upon the wrongdoing itself. When God forgives the wrongdoer, the event of the wrongdoing is not undone, but the guilt resulting from such an event is pardoned. So to forgive, therefore, means essentially to remove the guilt resulting from wrongdoing. God wipes the slate clean. Doesn't mean that we weren't previously doing wrong, but God doesn't hold that to our account. He not only cleans the slate, he can remove the guilt that we would feel from realizing what we've done. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at this verse here right again. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. You know, this word here, forgive, it means to permanently dismiss, to liberate completely, to discharge, to send away, and to release. It was used, obviously, in New Testament times to cancel a debt or release someone for an obligation of a contract, a commitment, or a promise. And it means to forfeit any right to hold a person captive to a previous commitment or a wrong he has committed. There's a lot to this. This word forgive, permanently dismiss, liberate completely, discharge, send away, release. So what is Paul saying using this word in Ephesians 1:7, describing the forgiveness of sins? You know, God is telling us that he has permanently dismissed our past sins from us. He's saying that he has permanently, he says we are liberated completely from those things. He has discharged them from us. He has sent them away. He has released them from us. The debt we owe, once owed due to past sins and transgressions, it's done. It's canceled. And God has freed us from the guilt of those previous things and the resultant thing that happened as a result of the sin nature. Because why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ was shed as the payment of our sin, just like they sang about in that song, just like we all participate in communion. Because the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for the payment of our sin, God has forfeited any right to hold us captive for that which we have already received forgiveness. Guys, you know what? We have received an abundance of mercy. An abundance of mercy. Isn't this exactly what we're told in Psalm 103, where it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us? You know, if God said he removed our sins from us as far as the north is from the south, we would eventually meet our sins again, because there is a north pole and a south pole. However, if you go east and you never change direction, you'll never meet west, because you'll always be going east. Likewise, If you travel west and never change direction, you'll never meet east because you'll always be traveling west. East never meets west, and west never meets east. And that's how far God has removed our sins from us. And he has removed them forever. Look in Micah. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. I'll give you a moment to get there. We don't. That's probably the least frequent place that we go many times. But there's a section here that contains some wonderful words that I wanted to talk about. And I said earlier that wearing this badge is inherent. In other words, it comes as part of the package of Christ in you. When you get born again, get the Spirit of God, you get a lot of different things. One of those things is the ability to forgive, and forgiveness is horizontal many times. You receive forgiveness from God vertically for all the things, and then we have relationships with people. We have things that come up that offend us, wound us, do things to us, and we then have to deal with those feelings, right? Well, maybe you're in Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, I want to start in verse 18. But just to say, you know what? God declares in this section that once he has dealt with our sins, he throws them into what is called a sea of forgetfulness. So let's look at chapter 7 of Micah, verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in what? Mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquity. You will cast all of our sins into the what? Depths of the sea. You know what this is telling us? There's no angel or any human being has a character that is so willing to pardon wickedness and the things that are being done against God. And we were at separation and at enmity with God because of the sin nature that we inherited. No one's been able to do that like God. Guys, God has put our sins, your sins, behind his back forever, and he's never going to look at them again. He has chosen to release us from those sins completely, as if you never did it. You know what? God doesn't have a poor memory. He could remember if he chose to, but he has chosen to never remember them again. He has thrown them into the depths of the sea where he will never retrieve them to bring them up to you again. Look at this great verse on the screen there about Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Yeah, I once heard a great man say, you'll never have a problem forgiving anybody when you remember what God has forgiven you for. Okay, you've been offended, you've been wounded, things have happened to you that haven't worked out for the best. But you know who carries the burden of that? Is the person who's not offering the forgiveness. The other person, or whatever the situation is, I mean, yes, that's unfortunate. But we have to be experts in learning how to be proactive and to exercise the authority and the rights that we have. Oh my gosh, Jesus could do it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, Father. Many times people are just used, they're pawns. They may or may not even know they're inflicting wounds. But we've got to be bigger. We've got to be stronger. We've got to be more mature. We've got to be more humble. These are the heart qualities of the believer. Let's call it the badge of the believer. So how about you? You're in Christ. I'm in Christ, and we've received forgiveness from God by what Jesus Christ did. Why does the past and why do these things that cause guilt and condemnation, either currently or from our past, keep coming up and again, as if somehow God were reminding us of it. You know what? If he has placed our past actions into the sea of forgetfulness, shouldn't you leave all that past mess where he has left it? You know, hey, why don't you make the decision today, right along with me, to leave the past in the depths of the sea and allow ourselves to be released from them once and for all by the power of the name and in the finished work and in the blood that Jesus Christ gave for us to have that quality and to be able to wear that badge proudly. It is such a dynamic topic. We need to be experts in displaying the badge of forgiveness. And when we recognize what God has done for us, like it talks about in Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, you know what then we can do? We pay it forward. We pay it forward. We exemplify the Father's love. We walk in the footsteps of what we see Jesus doing. Wow. If a man can forgive those in the moments before he takes his last breath, I truly believe that you and I can proudly do the same. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great, 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 great power that we've been given. I know it's sometimes not easy, Father, because we're feeling a certain way emotionally or whatever. We've been hurt. But how many times, I guess, have we hurt you, Father? And you still love us. You say you don't forget. You don't forget. I mean, you don't remember. And we want to be able to do that too. We want to clear the slate today of anyone who's wronged us, who's affected us, who's wounded us, something maybe we're internally holding in our heart, Father, that could be really healed up by just offering release, offering pardon to set the prisoner free. And the prisoner is us. Father, thank you for what Jesus Christ did on our behalf, and that we are new men and women and walking in a new and living and loving way. And part of that characteristic and quality of Christ is forgiveness. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.